Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields, and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Looking for an enclosed trailer that works as hard as you do? Check out the Homesteader lineup at TC Trailers. Perfect for moving, camping gear, or hauling mowers and motorcycles, a car hauler, or race trailer. Homesteader trailers deliver quality at a great price. Choose the Challenger with its flat front and rounded roof, or the Intrepid featuring a sleek V-nose design. Find your perfect trailer at TC Trailers, just east of Frankfort, or online at tc-trailers.com. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight.
When it comes to keeping your car running right, trust the team that's got your back. Big O Tires. Located on State Road 39 in Lebanon, Big O does it all. Oil changes, alignments, tire rotations, brakes, and more. Whether you're prepping for a road trip or just tackling that overdue maintenance, the certified technicians at Big O Tires will get the job done right the first time. Check them out on Facebook for exclusive deals and updates. Next time your vehicle needs a little love, head over to Big O Tires in Lebanon and talk to manager Lauren and owner Alan. Big O Tires is the team you trust.
Looking for free local news that actually feels local? From breaking news and weather alerts to sports, community events, obituaries, photos, and more, your free hometown connection is just a click away with Clinton County, Boone County, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com. Whether you're catching up from your phone at work, your tablet at home, or scrolling on the go, our three daily news websites keep you connected to the stories happening where you live. Check out the community calendars, local sports coverage, Hoosierland TV, WILO archives, features, and even fun games like crosswords and Sudoku. Plus, with updated features and easy navigation, finding the information you need has never been easier. And did I mention? It's free. Local news, local sports, local people. Updated every day. Visit ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com today.
I can see your future. Sometime in the next month, you'll go out to eat again. Jenny here. The Big Deals online store can make your future even brighter with restaurant gift certificates. There's something for everyone. They spend just like cash and never expire, so you can buy them now and use them whenever you want. Shop anytime, save all the time. The Big Deals online store.
Just click on the Big Deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 is made possible by TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. And your free local news source, Clinton, Carroll, or BooneCountyDailyNews.com. The Party Line online telecast on HoosierlandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Stoops Country Foods, Culligan, Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arbor Wood by Stoops, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Jerry's Body Shop, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard Counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, Avery Home Store, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfort, Copper Electric Services, LLC, Braden Business Systems, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi.
Oh, sometimes the off-air conversations are better than the on-air, but we're having a good time here. I'm joined by Clinton County Commissioner Bert Weaver, and you said everybody else is working, so you were free today.
I am off.
Oh, too much fun. So how's your summer going so far?
It's been a good summer. I don't enjoy the heat this much. I could cool it down just a little bit. It gets up to 100 and people have to watch what they're doing and stuff. It's dangerous to a lot of people.
So, sure.
And I don't do well in the heat. I hate to sweat. and it seems like I can stand still and sweat. So
yeah,
and not lose weight at the same time. So
I have you noticed? This is, may sound like a weird question, but have you noticed as you get older that the heat affects you more?
Well, it does in my case.
Yeah.
I years ago, you'd never thought about it. In fact, I remember all the way through high school and out of high school even, we didn't have air conditioning. And I don't remember it being this hot.
Yeah.
And for some reason now, I mean, when it's hot like this outside, you almost can't do anything.
I tend to wonder whether or not that's just because of being in air conditioning now all the time. And like you said, being a kid, not having that. And
yeah.
I mean, I can remember wearing sweatshirts in the middle of summer, and everybody think I was nuts. It didn't bother me. The heat did not bother me one way or the other. But, man, I can't stand it now.
Yeah, I can remember having an upstairs bedroom and, all the way through high school and all the way through schools and stuff.
Oh,
never
yeah.
had air conditioning.
Yeah.
Maybe had a little fan in the window, and that was about it.
Yeah.
And then I do remember I started working on the railroad, working different hours, and at evening or afternoon or even in the daytime I'd have to sleep, and it would be something. So I went out and bought my own little window air conditioner, but we didn't have central air.
You worked on the railroad. What'd you do on the railroad?
I was a fireman and then got promoted to an engineer after about 3.5 years.
Oh wow.
So
you were an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
So where all did you travel? I mean, I knew you grew up here.
Yeah.
So where
obviously
where all did
was
you
my
go?
Home base, but for the first year and a half, I was on what they called the Peoria Division, which meant I went to Peoria, Illinois, and turned around there and came back.
Okay.
But, that would be through Lafayette and then a little town called Rankin and Hoopston, and so went that direction.
Yeah, I think that's the same thing that Craig did.
Yeah. And
he would work in the
different
hubs. Like you said, different hubs.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then after that, I got laid off and went the very next day off onto what they called the 3rd Division, which went to St. Louis, East St. Louis.
Hmm.
So I actually went then through like Colfax, Clark's Hill, Linden, those directions. And, of course, that division is completely gone. And so now they still run towards Peoria, but now they're going on the other side. I went to Lima, Ohio. And that was another turnaround place that I would go to. So,
does it surprise you that we still have the railroad system that we have here in Frankfort over the years? I mean, seeing like the traffic and everything, we're still like a major hub
for the
state of Indiana.
We still have quite a few trains going back and forth freight-wise, going both directions. Really not surprised. I'm glad to see it continue, in my opinion. Obviously for big hauls and so forth, industry, I think you're going to see railroads even come back a little bit more and stuff. So,
yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Because especially fuel prices don't come down for trucking.
Yeah.
It's getting so expensive for trucking companies to be able to do the long hauls.
Yeah. And, one rail car can hold about 4 semi-truckloads. So, you get 4 for one.
Yeah.
That's
crazy. From your standpoint as a commissioner, you have to deal with railroads to an extent, maybe, especially road-wise.
Yeah.
I mean, part of that is in the decision-making for you guys. I know your Rick Campbell, who handles our county highway department. Mm-hmm. I know he's the one who has to directly deal with them, but mm-hmm. then you guys have to. On a commissioner's side of it, as far as just if work needs to be done, the railroad owns so much of that, of the crossings and things, and then if there's other issues, even just down the lines of the tracks and everything, it's still county property
right.
to either side of it. So what kind of a relationship is that like trying to work with them since you've seen both sides of it?
Well, it's really difficult because at the railroad, obviously, you never know who's in charge or where they are, and there are so many layers and so big, and regretfully, the railroads are not very keen in responding to things, and especially when they get into a shutdown mode like some of them have. For example, from here to Kokomo, that line's completely gone, and obviously, they've abandoned those places, but getting them to continue to maintain or continue to work on those things are pretty difficult to do. They're so big they don't care. And, you know, us small community, we can't take them to court because, you know, we'd spend millions of dollars and get nowhere with them. They're just so large. So it's difficult to work with the railroad in a lot of ways. On the other side of the fence, you know, we do work with them as far as safety, emergency, and we even train with them as a county, our EMS and our EMA departments and stuff. In fact, we're having a big training session coming up here in a few months into where we're working with the railroad. And we want to be prepared, obviously, always for, you know, derailment. And at the same time, how do we act or what's inside the cars and who do we call when those do happen? Because, you know, in a matter of minutes, you could have a car with all kinds of chemicals that we're not aware of. And we've got our fire department or EMS or our ambulances responding, police department. So it's imperative that we have emergency procedures down. And as a county, we work real hard with them to ensure that we get a hold of the right people at the right time, or we know how to identify which chemicals are worse than others, et cetera. And we have different protocols for each one of those departments as to what they're supposed to do should that happen. And it happens quite often, you know. One time is one time too many, but it could be disastrous in Frankfort, as you know, as it comes through town.
Sure.
So our EMA department and our ambulance department and our law enforcement people have to really be on top of those things. Our dispatch needs to have the numbers to get to the right people at the right time. So in that respect, we try to stay on top of it pretty well.
Well, I know, I think we're very fortunate here in Clinton County that we have an extremely efficient EMS. We have an efficient fire department system between the city and the county.
Mm-hmm.
All the counties work together with the city fire department. Same with the law enforcement but definitely dispatch. I mean, they've got, if they're not able to handle things, or if their equipment's not working right or anything, that's kind of the central hub for all of emergency services.
It is. In fact, we're fortunate in that our dispatch is probably one of the best in the state. Our response time as far as the different fire departments outside do very well as a volunteer system, and they support, obviously, Frankfort, or Frankfort supports them both ways. Our law enforcement's down top. We train probably, we get together a quarterly basis with pretty much all of those, including some of the factories and the plants and their managers and so forth. So our county trains quite a lot in those type of things so that everybody sort of knows everybody else and what the responsibilities are. We train with the police, the sheriff. We train with EMS and EMTs. So we get together quite often and have some heavy-duty training exercises. In fact, like I said, we've got a big one coming up where they're going to have a couple cars going to be supposedly derailed out at the railroad yards, and we'll work from beginning to end on how we should handle and how we respond and what we do, and we'll get the hospital involved, and we even have Lifeline involved and so forth. So it's pretty intense what we do. And whether it's raining or snowing or whatever, we'll train, because you never know when that's going to happen. And so our community does very well at that.
When we have an event like that, which here in June we did have a couple of nasty weather events come through, thank goodness, you know, no injuries I know there was some destruction, but not massive destruction like we could have. But when that all starts taking place, and I know Central Dispatch is the main focus. They're the ones watching it. They're keeping an eye on it. They're making the calls of who needs to be out. You know, they keep in with the weather service and everything. But is there like a chain of phone calls, or do you guys get the, as commissioners, do you guys get the alerts that, hey, this is going to happen? At the same time that everybody else is getting that kind of thing?
Our emergency management, our EMA department, or our division, I would say, and Homeland Security, those are the two that work That's the beginning. And then from there, then they have a protocol list, depending on what the situation is, as to who and what we affect the contact. So our EMA becomes involved right at the top. They're in touch with the state. We're in touch with the weather centers. We get the call from them, and then they would simply turn around and call whichever appropriates are, and usually it would then go to the commissioners. The commissioners would get a call at the same time, the sheriff, the fire department, or depending on whichever ones it are. And before those happen, like when we have like a snow disaster, we think it's going to get real bad next tomorrow or whatever.
Sure.
We'll meet the day before in a couple of the locations that we have at the dispatch. And so we'll have the mayor, the highway, the city, we'll have everybody together, and we'll go over our planning stage a day before, knowing here's what we anticipate, here's what they're saying, here's what we need to do, which shelters are going to be open, where can we go, who's got emergency gas, who has the generator. I mean, we have a planning stage right up the day before. And usually everybody's involved at that point in time in the planning stage. Then, obviously, when something does happen, some of the people don't get involved, but other people do, depending on what the situation is.
Yeah, I don't think people realize just how much the commissioners have to be involved in that kind of thing, because, well, basically, you guys hold the purse strings when it comes to emergencies, and it's all in your budget, you know, as a county.
It's
all, I mean, granted, everything in a lot of people don't understand government budgets, but everything's budgeted out. So much money is set aside for every division, every department, but sometimes it's not enough, or you have those emergencies like that. I know there are some government entities that have, I don't want to call it a slush fund, but they do have money set aside for things like that. I mean, are you guys the same way?
We do. We have all kinds of emergency steps that we can get into to get money. We actually have our auditor would even have some extra checks somewhere else other than where she would have them at the courthouse. But we have the ability to get checks and to draw money from other locations should we need to in an emergency. And, of course, our council sets those budgets up ahead of time, so we sort of pre-plan every year. But there's a lot of things that can happen that people just don't realize sometimes. You know, there was a couple of years ago when tornadoes kind of came through, and it hit out by Clinton Prairie, and then it kind of hit in Frank for a little bit, went on out into Michigan town, and went on out somewhere else. And fortunately, we were able to keep our communications up and going for the most part. But a lot of times, some communications do go down. Our phone lines go down and so forth. So we've worked with the phone companies and have some emergency lines, First Alert and so forth, that they give us priority. Something happens in that respect. And then, of course, we do have our radio system that we use sometimes. We have internet service, but as you know, sometimes those things go down.
Yep.
And so we have contingent plans on each and every one of those and or places that we can go to protect whatever we think is going to happen.
For, I don't know, let's kind of switch gears. We've been talking about, I applaud everyone in the county and in the city. We just are very blessed in this area to have so many people that are out there willing and ready to handle situations like that. But let's switch gears.
Okay.
So what's going on in the county?
As you know, obviously we got the fair coming up, so everybody's starting to think about the fair and kind of gearing up that way. We've been fortunate to have, you know, a fair council, and they take the ball and run. So fortunately, the commissioners aren't really involved with that up until budget time. And actually, we work obviously with them and our council to make sure that the funds are there. And we've done some things at the fairgrounds every year. A lot of that stuff's expensive to take care of, but the fair council's done a good job, and they're planning right now. So that's one thing. As you know, we've moved into the annex, and things are getting settled down there to a certain degree. The annex is operational, and we're anticipating moving Some of the people that are on the third floor, in fact, the whole third floor is being used, obviously, by the court systems now on the third floor that was temporary, and then obviously we'll be moving back into the courthouse before long. Courthouse is coming along. I meet every 2 weeks with engineers and the builders, and we have a progress report that we go through every other week and look at what's being done, what needs to be done, where do we think, and so forth. And it is amazing to me the amount of tweaking that has to go on, because a lot of times an engineer put together our planning stage of what we're going to do at the courthouse, like on the third floor. Well, the engineers do it, but they don't realize that there's a marble wall, or maybe 2 inches there's a pipe behind there that wasn't known about, and so forth. And so there's a lot of little tweaking that's going on every other week and stuff. This project on redoing the courthouse has been unique in that we're trying to save all of the nuances, trying to save all of the woodwork. We're trying to save all of the old, anything that was old and antique-ish, I guess. And so we're trying to preserve that early 1800 development building and keep it as much as we can, but yet still remodel it to where it's electrically and so acoustically
efficient
now.
Yeah.
And so it's been interesting to be a part of that. So I meet with them almost every other day. I go through and just kind of see what's going on. But for the most part, every other week we get together and talk about what we need to do. And it's amazing. The doorknob has to go this way rather than that way, or the door has to open up different than what we do. And we've moved some walls. Well, the walls have pipes coming down from the roof that need to be moved that we didn't know about, or it's connected to the outside city drainage, but it's at the wrong place. Now we got to tear up sidewalks if we go that way or something. So it just seems like always a twist. And, you know, I've heard it said before that it's harder to remodel an existing property than it is to build it brand new. In fact, that was one of the reasons we ended up building the annex new, because trying to remodel that building the way it was before was going to become almost as expensive as what it would be if we built it new. So,
yeah,
you know, that's one of the reasons we kind of switched in that case. But with the courthouse, it's a little different. We want to keep the tradition going, I guess, of having a beautiful courthouse. And they're doing a great job. They've kept every piece of wood, every doorknob, glass, different windows. So it's going to be nice when they get it done.
I think it'll be beautiful to go in and see. I do love the fact that they are trying to preserve as much of the authenticity of the courthouse, but everything has to move forward. The progress has to move forward.
Yeah.
I'm sure the floors will be relieved just to have so many records digitized.
Yeah. Well, on the fourth and fifth floor, we had all of those records and papers and so forth. Everything was digitized then, so that we have everything now in a computer situation to where none of that stuff was thrown away. So quite a job is what it amounted to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So now is it all in cloud storage then, or as far as digital storage, and or do you have, like, I guess, hard copies of the digitized stuff? I mean, you don't have the papers anymore, because, you know.
Well, we have the papers even stored right now. We have not destroyed anything. We still have everything, and that's one of the things we will start to go back through after we get some of the dust settled and people back in the right places. But as it is now, we do have everything that we still have. We've not destroyed anything.
Wow.
So everything has been from the courthouse digitized and put into the computer, and again, it's a job in progress, because there's just so much paperwork and stuff.
I would assume there's some of that you're legally legally required to keep.
Very much so. In fact, we've kept, well, again, we've kept everything, but, you know, some of that stuff was like 1851, 1852, you know. Some of it is very brittle, obviously, you know, 150 years old, 200 years old, whatever.
Sure.
Some of it was in pencil, so therefore sticking in a book and the pencil's hard to read and so forth, so there's a lot of just a lot of history there that it's very difficult to keep and transpose. In fact, I had to sign a birthday card yesterday for my grandson, and I actually my wife printed it, and then I said, well, and I had forgotten, but there for a while, some students weren't taught to read cursive writing.
Yeah.
And my grandson's one of those that went through that was, they were teaching printing only and not cursive writing.
Right.
So he can't read cursive writings. Well, as you know, back some of the paperwork back in the old days have beautiful handwriting.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to read. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that that's kind of, I mean, it's just beautiful handwriting, but it's difficult to read even if you can read cursive writing.
Yeah. No, so. I agree. And they either wrote with pencil because that was what was available, or they wrote with fountain pens, the old fountain pens, or quills for that
bit.
Fact.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
it would bleed depending on the paper.
Yeah.
So
that's going on. What else is going on? Of course, we have a new sheriff, and he's trying to make new changes in his operation and so forth, and that seems to be doing very, very well. You know, we always have turnover. You know, you've always got people coming and going. We have a new auditor that's going to be taking her position, maybe. Well, we will. Somebody's going to take it in the first of the year, so we'll have a new auditor in that position. And that's a major. I struggle with our government sometimes. Some of those positions in my, I don't know which way to think. I think it's important that we have limited terms,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, some positions, to get in a position for 8 years, and then that person goes, and then you bring a brand new person in that maybe is not familiar with the system,
yeah.
it takes a long time to get those people trained back up. In the meantime, in some of those key positions, it's difficult for everybody else because we're trying to train somebody that hasn't been there, you know. And,
sure.
Sometimes the short terms... So, for example, the auditor is a key position. I mean, that person has pretty much their hands on everything, you know, either paying bills coming in, payroll, whatever. And to lose our auditor and have a brand new person come in that has no knowledge of what we do, how the system works, where it goes, is difficult for the other departments because it's a training process for everybody again. We got to get used to them and so forth. So. It would be nice if some of those would stay a little longer than that short period of time. 8 years is a short period of time.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it is, especially when you're working with things like that.
Yeah.
I know with the commissioners, you guys are staggered as
yes.
far as,
yes.
you know, who's term is up.
Two's on and one. Depends on which one, but yes.
Yeah. But a lot of the offices aren't staggered like that.
No.
And that maybe that's what we need to be looking at.
Yeah. And even as a commissioner, and I've said it before, people don't realize how many issues that we deal with.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I still today, you know, I'm looking at diagrams for building a new bridge. You know, I don't have any knowledge of whether it's a 2x4 or 2x6 or 2x, you know, a lot
sure.
of that stuff. And it's amazing. Everything is in writing anymore. It used to be that it wasn't quite as much. So my first term as a commissioner, I didn't have as much reading as I do today. Today, every contract is like a book, and you've got to read through, and there's so many catchwords, and there's so many things. And, for example, in the state, they're terrible of using, what do they call it, just abbreviations.
Yes.
And you don't know what those abbreviations
yeah,
are.
Yeah, you have to turn around and stop and look that up.
You do, exactly.
Before you know what they're writing about.
You know, a lot of times it'll be a PhD. Well, is that a doctor or is that a post hole digger?
You know?
So, I mean, it you have to look it up.
Yeah.
And so when you're looking at 30 pages, both front and back, and it's talking about, you know, hooking up to this or that or the other, it's very...
You get as frustrated with codes and statutes as I do?
It is.
Uh-huh.
You know, the roundabout that was out there, we went for a while and battled the state because we didn't want to do it initially like the state had wanted. And so, you know, you've got to kind of argue with their engineers as to why or what you wanted. Well, we wanted an additional 1.5 foot wider on the roundabout, primarily because of the traffic of farmers taking bigger equipment around those roundabouts. And so we had to go to battle, but there was so much tweaking for that 1.5 foot difference, and it was just amazing what it took to get them to understand what we were talking about. Yet at the same time, we weren't sure of what we were talking about, trying to get 1.5 foot. Well, how deep is it? How thick is it? How strong is it? Where's it turn? You know, I mean, there was just so much detail to changing 1.5 foot.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So,
my guest in-house right now is Clinton County Commissioner Bert Weaver. Bert, if you can hang on, we're going to take just a little bit of a break, and then we'll be right back again and finish out the show.
Your home for classic hits, AM 1570, 96.9, and Moon 102.7 FM, WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, can an Ivy Tech degree get me a good career? Well, some say good, and some say great. In 2 years or less, you can earn an associate degree or certificate, qualifying you for some of Indiana's fastest-growing career fields and earning you an average of $37,777 the first year after graduation. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Looking for an enclosed trailer that works as hard as you do? Check out the Homesteader lineup at TC Trailers. Perfect for moving, camping gear, or hauling mowers and motorcycles, a car hauler, or race trailer. Homesteader trailers deliver quality at a great price. Choose the Challenger with its flat front and rounded roof, or the Intrepid featuring a sleek V-nose design. Find your perfect trailer at TC Trailers, just east of Frankfort, or online at tc-trailers.com. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight.
When it comes to keeping your car running right, trust the team that's got your back, Big O Tires. Located on State Road 39 in Lebanon, Big O does it all. Oil changes, alignments, tire rotations, brakes, and more. Whether you're prepping for a road trip or just tackling that overdue maintenance, the certified technicians at Big O Tires will get the job done right the first time. Check them out on Facebook for exclusive deals and updates. Next time your vehicle needs a little love, head over to Big O Tires in Lebanon and talk to manager Lauren and owner Alan. Big O Tires is the team you trust.
Looking for free local news that actually feels local? From breaking news and weather alerts to sports, community events, obituaries, photos, and more, your free hometown connection is just a click away with Clinton County, Boone County, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com. Whether you're catching up from your phone at work, your tablet at home, or scrolling on the go, our three daily news websites keep you connected to the stories happening where you live. Check out the community calendars, local sports coverage, Hoosierland TV, WILO archives, features, and even fun games like crosswords and Sudoku. Plus, with updated features and easy navigation, finding the information you need has never been easier. And did I mention? It's free. Local news, local sports, local people. Updated every day. Visit ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, and CarrollCountyDailyNews.com today.
I can see your future. Sometime in the next month, you'll go out to eat again. Jenny here. The Big Deals online store can make your future even brighter with restaurant gift certificates. There's something for everyone. They spend just like cash and never expire, so you can buy them now and use them whenever you want. Shop anytime, save all the time. The Big Deals online store.
Just click on the Big Deals tab at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, or CarrollCountyDailyNews.com.
Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7 is made possible by TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. And your free local news source, Clinton, Carroll, or BooneCountyDailyNews.com. The Party Line online telecast on HoosierlandTV.com is brought to you by 51 West Event Center, The Farmers Bank, Shoup's Country Foods, Culligan, Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arbor Wood by Shoup's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas,
Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, Jerry's Body Shop, Community Foundation serving Carroll, Clinton, and Howard counties, Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding, and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, Avery Home Store, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfurt, Copper Electric Services, LLC, Braden Business Systems, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi.
Thank you for joining us for Party Line here. I think I forgot to stop something. You gotta love live radio. But joining me in studio right now, Clinton County Commissioner Bert Weaver, and we're just talking stories off the air. He knows my brothers, and I'm getting all kinds of dirt, so I'm enjoying
some ammunition.
It. Yeah, I'm getting some ammunition for those next family phone calls. So, we were talking about all the stuff that you guys are responsible for and everything, and when you're out in the county, and I know you're a very observant person anyway, and we stop and when we think about all the things that the county's working on, the courthouse is the first thing that comes to mind because the annex building's done now, and of course everybody turns their eyes to the courthouse. But what else are you working on? What kind of proposals or what kind of things come to you in a regular meeting? And I do want to encourage people, if you want to know what's going on, get on YouTube and you can watch the board meeting. If you can't be at the meeting, then watch the meeting. So, let's stay off of social media because everything on social media is not necessarily the right information. So, but talk about some of the other responsibilities that you guys have.
Well, obviously, I think I counted one time there's like 22 various either departments or county organizations that we pretty much try to deal with and work with, ranging from EMS to EMA to the highway department to, the sheriff. I mean, it's just all of the county entities. We kind of pretty much have a little bit of responsibility. We're responsible for signing every contract that any county position has. So, for example, if somebody in dispatch wants to buy some equipment and they're looking at an X-ray machine or a copy machine or a fax machine and so forth, we read those contracts. We try to put them together and make sure that, the county's doing them right. All three of us pretty much look at everything that is presented ahead of time before the meeting happens. And so we've got a pretty good idea where we go. We're responsible for looking at all of the bills and invoices and making sure that they're on target. We're responsible for reviewing our payroll and making sure that payroll every 2 weeks is in line with what it's supposed to be. So we look at the payroll situation and approve payroll. We look at all of the presentations that go on. For example, the health department, maybe they've got this program going or that program going, and we sometimes make the decision that no, we don't think we want to be involved with that, or yes, we do want to be involved with that. So I look at it as my job is to help support all of the other functions within the county. We're not in charge of anything, in my opinion. Everybody else has a job to do. So, for example, the EMA or EMS, they come and make recommendations. For our EMS, for example, just not very long ago, they made the presentation to buy I'd call them flap jackets, but bulletproof vests that the paramedics or the EMTs could wear should they be in a bad situation sometime and stuff. And so we approved that and thought that was a good purchase of money that the county needed to have. And it's too bad because years ago it didn't have to have those.
Yeah.
But it seems today, sadly to say, some of those people have to have that protection. It's not worth, in my opinion, $10,000 if somebody would happen to get shot by a stray bullet while they're working on somebody.
Sure.
We make those decisions. They would come to us, the department heads or the elected officials. The auditor needs to have a new copy machine. Well, several other people have to have copy machines, so we look at those leases. Equipment, you know, just recently we ended up getting some new tractors. We got some new dump trucks. We've got new equipment that comes on pretty much every year on a rotating basis. And so we look at those, whether we purchase them or we lease them. We look at the financial situation and what makes more sense one way or the other. So one of the things people don't realize is we react very quickly at the commissioner's meeting. So we'll approve things, but it's something that we've read 2 weeks in advance. We've had a copy of the contract or a copy of the proposal, and we've made phone calls individually as to try to find out what the details are in each of those situations. So when we get to the board meeting, it's a matter of we've already been there and know where I feel or what I want to do.
Right.
And then by the time we get together, then either Mr. Myers or Mr. Brewer, you know, makes a suggestion. We talk about it for a split second, and one of us will make a motion in a second, and it's then voted on. And so we do everything in the public meeting, but yet we've looked at it a week or two or three.
Yeah, all the research and all the discussion and everything's
prior
been
to. Yeah. Exactly. Each one of us try to get to as many operations as we can. There's a lot of meetings that go on all the time, as you know. So just so happens that I believe it was yesterday or the day before, I was busy, and I know Mr. Brewer was busy, but Kevin went to Crawfordsville to meet with the governor and his staff as our highway department was granted $680-some thousand. The state gave us a check for $680-some thousand for a road project that we had put in, and so it was one of those that was an 80-20 match. So the state was paying us 80%. We paid 20%, and with that, then we received $680,000 to help build us a road. So we paid 20% for the road, not the whole thing.
Right.
And so we picked up a check for $600-some thousand just yesterday. So Mr. Myers, along with our highway department, went and met with the governor and quite honestly picked up a check. I texted. Actually, I spoke to the highway department guy and said, well, I was hoping you weren't in Florida today because I was afraid, you know, you got that $680,000 check if you went to Florida instead. He said it's too hot down there.
You got that heat here.
Yeah. But yeah. Those are things that the commissioners would do. We try to go to all of the functions within the community to be involved. So we split up. All three of us try to go different places. And
right.
So the team that we have right now, in my opinion, is doing a very good job. It seems like we're covering as much as we can. It's a difficult job.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I know what my husband deals with as a trustee, and even that has gotten even more and more difficult than what it used to be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. Contracts are crazy.
And just reading them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of the old school. I have to print it. Mr. Jordan, for example, has his computer or his laptop all the time, so he does his on his either his laptop or his.
He's a visual. He can read it all.
Right.
Like you. I'm old school. I want the paper in front of me.
I have to have the paper, and I have to make my notes.
Make notes, yes.
And for me to do it, I'd still be on the computer today trying to figure out how to turn it on, you know?
Yeah.
So that and the fact that, you know, my phone, it is amazing. You know, these are hits that I've gotten today from various people.
Right.
So, and I'm looking at about 8 of them so far today.
Yeah.
Last night I had a call at 11 o'clock. Some individual called me, was upset, wanted the commissioners to act, and apparently he had his dad's property. The farmer behind it took the fence row down.
Mm.
Been there for 28 years or 25 years, I think he said. But we had to explain to him that commissioners have no authority over that. I couldn't tell the farmer that he could or he couldn't. I said, you know, I don't know where your property line is. You know, it's not county property. It's a private individual. The two of you need to work it out, and I would suggest. And he said, well, we can't, we won't, and so forth. And I said, well, the only thing I can tell you to do is obviously, you know, speak to an attorney because I have no idea.
Yeah, refer them to the...
To the right place.
To the proper departments because,
And, you know, his hopes were that we could say, hey, you know, go. And I said, I can't do that. It's not a right of way that belongs either to the county or, you know, has anything to do with the county whatsoever, other than my suggestion would be, you know, get an attorney to maybe write or call and see if you can resolve it without having to go to court. But, you know, it's over my head. I can't help you.